Funny how that works. I have a song that Jesus gave me. Amen. There's never been a sweeter melody. Well, let's turn to John chapter 4. This is a familiar story in the Bible. And it leads us to something very, very precious. John chapter 4. This is the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And we will read a number of verses all the way down through verse 24. It's a great, great story. A lot of precious truth here. Verse 1, John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, what a great truth. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come to draw. Again, she didn't understand the spiritual meaning of that text. Jesus saith unto her, verse 16, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And these are our texts, verse 20 through 24. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And by the way, just let me add, it's not the place, it's the person. You can worship God anywhere. It doesn't have to be in this mountain or in Jerusalem. We can worship God anywhere, and we should. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that will help us now to speak the truth, to hear the truth, to be changed by the truth. May we be your servants today. May you bless your word and bless our ears in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak today about praise and worship. And in the last five verses that we read, worship is mentioned 10 times. So there's a real emphasis and a real teaching in that portion of Scripture. It talks about the Spirit and truth. It talks about the Holy Spirit and the Word. And that must be in our worship, or it is no worship at all. Worship is defined like this: to adore, to pay divine honor to reverence with supreme respect and veneration. And the only one that deserves our worship is the Lord. It means to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. It means to perform acts of adoration, to perform religious service. Remember in verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, so there was activity during that time. We're to worship from our heart because it can only be true worship if it's from our heart. So the Bible says, true worshipers, amen. And if we have true worshipers, we will have true worship. But all that needs to come from our heart. In Psalm 95 and verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Many times we worship the Lord in prayer, and it's good. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. So he wants us to be in fellowship with him, the model prayer that he gave to the disciples, etc., etc. So God desires our prayer, and prayer from our heart that honors the Lord is a part of worship. Amen? So that's how we worship God. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. There are so many verses on worship, but I just want to give you kind of a different view on all different sides, and then we will get into the message about 2:30. Okay? Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Psalm 138, 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. I will worship, and this is the reason I'm going to worship. God has been so good to us. He talks about his loving kindness. Remember on the Mount of Temptation, Matthew chapter 4, the devil was tempting the Lord. The first three temptations in Genesis, man failed. The second Adam came and went through the same three temptations. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's in 1 John. And so Jesus is being tempted. The third temptation, the devil says, fall down and worship me. It says, all these things will I give you if thou fall down and worship me. And Jesus says, no, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen? And then the devil leaveth him. But the devil wants that worship. He wants to take the place. Matter of fact, you don't have to turn there, but this is Isaiah 14, and this is where the devil fell. It says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was the devil. And he's still trying to do that. He still tried to get our admiration and worship. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is in Athens and he's seeing the city. He's on a missionary journey. There's a lot of unbelievers. There are a lot of unbelievers in Athens. And so Paul says he sees the whole city given to idolatry. And you're familiar with this text. People have preached on it for a long time. You've probably read it. But down the sides of the streets, both sides were different gods. A god for this, a god for that. And the people worshiped those idols. And they had one they entitled the unknown god, because they didn't know who it was, but they didn't want to miss any of the gods. And this is what Paul says. He says, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown god, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And so he preached unto them Jesus. But the devil doesn't care if you worship him or if you worship another god. He just doesn't want you to worship the true God. He does not want that to take place. In Deuteronomy 11:16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Where your heart is and your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if we worship these idols, we will live for those idols. So the Lord tells us to follow him. I think that's an important point. In Daniel chapter 3, this is during the Babylonian captivity, and there are three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and what's his last name? And Abednego. Yeah. And they're there, and the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he makes an idol. It's an idol of gold, but it's an idol that looks like him. And he wants everybody to fall down and worship him. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't do that. But here was the command. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And that image was of him. And if you bring that into modern terms and modern times, it's humanism, where man worships himself. And we ought to worship God. God is in control. God is keeping this or directing this or making something good out of something that the devil has destroyed. God is always at work. Amen? And we need to give him the glory for that. We also have Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So we use Psalm 89:1. It's right out of the Bible. It's a psalm, which is a song. And so that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sing these songs unto the Lord. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? When they were in captivity, they didn't feel like singing because they were captive. But Jesus came to set the captive free. And he sets our hearts free. Amen. So that we can sing even in a strange land. Psalm 95:2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now, maybe you can't carry a tune in a bucket or a bigger bucket. And that doesn't matter. You know from me leading the singing that doesn't matter. But if you can't sing, you can certainly make a joyful noise. Amen? And that's what he says, just make a joyful noise. Jeremiah 26:2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the courts. Here's advice to Jeremiah. Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee, speak unto them, there diminish not a word. So when we come into the house of the Lord, we are to come to worship. They used to call it coming to worship. And we would worship the Lord in church. Amen? And there are a lot of side things that we do. We have a treat and we do this and we do that. But the main purpose of coming to church is to hear the word of the Lord, respond to it, amen, and grow in grace and knowledge, but it's all about worship. Worship. And we'll see that as we go through the scriptures. In Mark 11:17, Jesus, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? He's quoting Isaiah 56:7. But ye have made it a den of thieves. So God's intention for the church is for it to be a house of prayer. It's to be a house of worship. That's what he told Jeremiah to tell the people. We have, in the Lord's house, we sing songs of worship. We sing prayers. We just sang some of them in the songs that we had scheduled for today. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Boy, that's a blessing. So the song is from, well, there's a song like this, the song of a soul set free. Remember that song? Nobody knows it? A couple of people know that? That's a good song, amen? And we just sing these songs. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many will see it and be glad. So God does that. He puts that song in there, and when we sing that song back to him, it's worship and it is praise. In Nehemiah 12:46, songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. Psalm 32:7, songs of deliverance. Job 35:10, God my maker who giveth me songs in the night. And this is not going to be a message on singing, but all through the scripture you have that. Moses' song, Exodus 15, they sang, wrote a song and sang it because they were now coming out of Egypt, out of bondage. David's songs, they're the Psalms. Paul's song, he sang that song with Silas in Acts 16 in prison. Amen. And as I mentioned earlier, there's the song of the Lamb that we will sing throughout all eternity. Amen. It's going to be a good song. There's a song that we've sung here, I believe. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. It's good. It's a good song, and it tells us why we come to church. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. Philippians 3:3, worship God in the Spirit. So you have pray, sing, and worship put together, and it's all the work of the Spirit. That's what God does in our hearts. John 4:23, the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. True worshipers, wow, true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. That's how we have to worship him to be a true worshiper. And it says, the Father seeketh such. Now, is God not worthy enough for us to worship him in spirit and in truth? God seeks us to do that. When we come to church, we're seeking something. We're seeking some fellowship. We're seeking something from the Bible. We're seeking, oh, I want to see that person or get somebody into the house of God that they might be saved or hear the word of God. And so we come seeking for something from God. But when we come, he is seeking not just our presence, but our hearts. Amen? My son, give me thine heart. And so he's seeking such true worshipers to worship him. That's what he desires. Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the beginning of a prayer, and that means treated as sacred, reverenced. He's worthy. Amen? And when he is worthy and we feel that worthiness, we sing. He hath put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God. Why is that? Because he's brought us up out of the miry clay, out of the pit, set our feet upon a rock. It's all in that text. Because he's done that, then we sing. Because he has given us a song, we praise him with the song. It's his gift. True worshipers, the Father seeketh such. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Most High. You know, it says the Father seeketh such. And sometimes he doesn't find that. Sometimes we can come with burdens or our minds are on other things and the lusts of other things choke the word, you know? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Is it? Yeah. Anyway, maybe I'm dry and need some water. Richard, would you get me some water? So, in Ezekiel 20 and verse 30, God sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that the people wouldn't be destroyed. But he found none. Well, God is seeking for true worshipers right now. And we have an opportunity the rest of the service to do that. So kind of follow what I'm saying. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. I brought this Bible. My grandmother gave this to me back in 1964. I was 2 years old. I don't know why she gave me this big Bible in 1964. But inside, she was a godly woman. And she went to an old-fashioned Methodist church, Ida. And she wrote this to me. I was confirmed in the Lutheran church, and she wrote this on my confirmation. May 31st, 1964. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And that never meant anything to me until I got saved in my early 20s. And time out. Amen. Thank you, Richard. Got it. Ah, that's good. If it clicks again, we'll just keep right on going and just kind of turn the click off. Amen. The Father seeketh such. Seek the Lord. In Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. And here's meekness, submission to the divine will, humble, yielding. Psalm 27:8, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, Lord, thy face will I seek. God says, we're humble, we desire to worship him, I will seek him. Seek my face, I will seek your face. Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Remember those three statements in the gospel? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Those are true. Those are things, principles that God gave us. And here he's saying, if you seek me with your heart, you will find me. That's what he's saying. And he wants us to seek him with our heart. Amen? Our whole heart. It ought to be a time of worship. Second Chronicles, they're going to have a battle. Chapter 20 and verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Look, we're in a mess. We need help from God. They all came together to seek the Lord. Amen? That's a good thing. Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a love story. This is about the, what's her name? Shunammite woman, yeah. And it was about this shepherd. And the Shunammite woman would represent us. The shepherd would represent Christ. And he was really a king. But he was disguised as a shepherd. And she fell in love with him as a shepherd and not a king. Boy, was she surprised when he was a king. Amen. But anyway, this is what it says. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. When our soul loves him, we seek him. Amen? And sometimes we leave our first love, or our first love grows cold. And God wants to bring us back where he might have worship from us. And he blesses us that we might be blessed. You have Acts chapter 17. And again, Paul is in Athens. And this is what he said in verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. We say that old saying, only a prayer away, only a prayer away, where we get our hearts in tune with the Lord. He is here, hallelujah, he is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here, he is here. Well, now to part of the message that I wanted to get to. There's a lot of foundation laid there, right? That we should seek him, but we should seek him with our heart, that we should sing unto him and pray with our hearts, and that would be worship, a form of worship. When we come into the house of God, that's what we're coming for. We're seeking something, but God is seeking something, and we want to lift our hands and praise him. Amen. That's a good thing to do. And here is the crux of the whole message. Matthew 18 and verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Two or three. We have more than two or three. We have four. Amen? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here. Do you feel him? See? He seeks such to worship him. Do you feel his presence? Like when I walked through the door, I felt his presence. There's a song that starts out like that. And I knew this was the place where God could be found. Second verse, and it goes on. It's a beautiful song, but that's so divine. That is so wonderful, because where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Well, whether you feel him or not, he is here. He is here every Sunday. He is here every Sunday school, where we gather together and pray or sing or hear the word. He is here, amen, in his presence. And he wants to be worshipped. There's a story in the Bible. By the way, you say, well, that's a dull, dry sermon. Yeah, I'll give that to you. But the Lord's still here. Amen? I don't like that song. It's too high. But the Lord's still here. Amen? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I want to be one of those two or three where I feel God. And of course, you expand the numbers. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob was a deceiver. And I always say this, there's a little bit of Jacob in all of us, manipulation, and sometimes we don't even see it. But Jacob had stolen the birthright from his brother. Genesis chapter 28. And his brother wants to kill him. I mean, and he is afraid, and his mother's conspiring, and she dreamed all of this up, and now she has to pay the penalty. He's got to take off, or he's going to get killed. And so Jacob starts on his journey, and God made a promise to Jacob, and in a dream that he had, that he would restore Jacob, he would bring him back. And all of the truths of that chapter, it's a wonderful, wonderful story. But Jacob has this dream about this ladder on earth going up to heaven. And in the dream, angels were ascending and descending. And he wakes up and he says this, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. That's what he said in verse 16. Surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Think of that. What a tragedy to not know the Lord was in that place when he first got there. Amen? But what had happened? I mean, look at his life. Look at what was going on. And God had to give him something so he could realize that that was true again. That's like Jeremiah was told by God, speak the words that I give you so that the people will worship me. And so, you know, you hear something in the Bible, and I know I use a lot of verses. I do that on purpose. Because that's God. That is his word. He wants us to be true worshipers. He desires such. He wants us to sing. He wants us to praise. He wants us to pray. He wants us to have that spirit in us. Because you pray in the spirit, you sing in the spirit, you worship in the spirit. And if you worship God in the spirit, you must do it in the spirit. So it has to come from our hearts. What a tragedy. Let's make an application. To be in church today and not know that the presence of God is here. I mean, if God was sitting next to you or the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart and all of a sudden you got real tender, you would know what it is. Amen? And then you would praise and you would worship him for that. Do you remember when you were a new convert and you started going to church and the Bible, boy, was exciting because every time you went to church, you learned something new. And you sat there and you read this or heard this preached and you said, my, that's wonderful. Amen? That pleases the Lord. And so we honor his word because he's magnified a word, his word above all his name. Here's a tragedy. Jacob didn't realize that. Luke chapter 2, Joseph, Mary, not baby Jesus, he's 12 years old. They're going to the Passover, and they finish the days of the Passover, and they're coming back. And Mary and Joseph go a day's journey, and they say, wonder where Jesus is. Wonder where our boy is. What happened to him? And they couldn't find him. He was still back in Jerusalem. Remember, he's teaching the doctors. He was in the temple. And so he's expounding, and he's doing what the Father brought him to do. But they didn't realize that he wasn't with them. Jacob didn't realize that God was there. Joseph and Mary didn't realize that God wasn't there. Praise God when they got it in their heads and, man, where is he? Where is he? They had the sense enough to go looking for him. Amen? Where did you lose the axe head? I'm not talking about your work. I'm not talking about your faithfulness. I'm talking about your heart. Because I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. That's what everything is all about. Amen. And when we come to church and we're in love with the Lord, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So love one another with a pure heart fervently. Feel it. Come into those doors and feel the spirit of love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's worship. And God says in John 3:16, he loves us. In 1 John 3:16, because he loved us, we're to love others. That's worship. Amen? And that is the real thing. And without that love, there's absolutely nothing we can do. God is love. God is love. And he wants to be loved. Amen? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's the Holy Spirit again. This can't be done in the flesh. Well, I'm going to make myself love somebody. No, you're not going to do very good. You know, love your enemies, right? Not going to do very good if you don't have God's help. And we come to church and we want to feel his presence. We want to worship him. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him after among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They finally found him. It was probably a relief, amen? And I'm sure it was a relief. If you've ever lost a child in Walmart, you know, you turn around and she's gone or he's gone, that would be a scary thing, amen? And no matter how mad you're getting, all you wanted to do was that child to be saved. Didn't I tell you 10,000 times, and you know I don't exaggerate, but didn't I tell you 10,000 times not to go away? But anyway, they found Jesus. Jacob did not think he was there when he was, and Joseph thought he was there and he wasn't. Do you think God's presence is here today? Just think about it. You don't have to answer it. Do you think in your own heart, being honest, that God's presence is here today? Now, the next question would be, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is filling you? Do you believe his presence is in you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is filling you? God is love. He loves every person that walks through that door. He loves the people that won't walk through that door. Amen? But when they walk through the door, it's like Mary or the babe leaping in the womb of Elizabeth, you know. Oh, man, heard the voice of Mary. And or I got that backwards, but you understand the text. But the babe leapt in her womb. I mean, somebody comes in and God says, oh, praise God. Praise God. I mean, well, he wouldn't be praising himself, right? Praise God. But he would be pretty happy. Amen? He would be very, very happy. When we see somebody coming in, we want to love them. Amen? Well, where have you been? I mean, you've been gone 6 weeks. Don't you think you should have been here? Oh, that's real heartwarming. Amen? That's heartwarming. So we love people that are here. In Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This is a spiritual book. It's God's word. Amen. Thy word is truth. The Spirit will guide us into all truth. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. That's what this is. This is a spiritual book. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So it cuts out the bad. Amen. And if you've ever seen a cancer on a hand, they cut the cancer out, but more than the cancer is cut out. There's always good tissue that goes from it. It's so important for us not to be any kind of a cancer in relationships, because sometimes it hurts more than where the cancer is. And God wants to bless his church. God wants to bless anybody who comes through there. I was talking to somebody last night, obviously isn't here, and hasn't been here for some time. But I make those contacts all the time. And they said to me, what we need in the church is people. And I thought to myself, okay, that's good. And I didn't say anything after that. Amen. You'll get the gist of that in a moment. But Jacob did not think he was there when he was. Joseph thought he was there when he wasn't. Do you think God's here? Do you think he's in your heart? All that is something to wake up, because we need the presence of the Lord. Here's the promise. If you seek him with your heart, he will be found of you. Just seek him with your whole heart. Say, God, I'm cold, I'm, you know, whatever you want to put in that equation. I just need you. He is here. He will come. Take your Bible and look to John chapter 1 just for a moment. John chapter 1. In verse 35, we'll start reading. John the Baptist has already pointed out Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was a marvelous thing. Verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. That's the one I'm talking about. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And you know what Simon Peter accomplished for the Lord. We don't read much about Andrew except here, but his life affected Simon Peter's. And it said, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Because Andrew believed they had found the Christ, he wanted his brother to find the Christ. Amen? And I'm sure Andrew was used of the Lord, but look at the ministry that Simon Peter had. It's the same thing with Stephen being stoned and had the face of an angel. Lay not this sin to their charge, but he affected the Apostle Paul. Look at the ministry the Apostle Paul had. Both of those men, because somebody else cared. In John chapter 4, we just read it. This woman, after she knew that Jesus was the Christ, she went into the city and she said, come see a man which told me all things whatsoever I've done. Is not this the Christ? The Christ. Christ is here. Amen? Christ is here. He goes with us wherever we go. But when it comes to a church service, he's here to minister to us. Amen? But he's here to receive our worship. We praise him. We sing. We pray. We love one another. Amen. That's true worship. And true worship comes from true worshipers. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, help us today to worship you. And we must do it in spirit and in truth. And may that be so true in our hearts. I pray, God, that you'd answer our prayers now. Bless your dear people. Bless them greatly. In Jesus' name, amen.